Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Accepting the Love of God. Are you struggling in your faith because you're not sure what God wants you to do? Not knowing God's will in your life can create anxiety, loss of joy, and difficulty in receiving the love of God. Many Christians have never thought about how God communicates with His people. So what can you expect? Most of the time, God communicates through the written word, but He may also speak to you through a dream, a vision, an audible voice, or even a strong thought pattern. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer and will use your mind to dwell upon the things of God in order to be automatically directed on a daily basis. Jesus called this abiding in Him. This message is entitled, Hearing from Jesus. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, March 25th, 2012. And this is the last Sunday in the month of March, and I can't believe it, but we finished about the first quarter of this year. Can you believe that? One quarter of the year is just about gone. And we have invested that in Jesus, right? So we can be happy and be praising God for that. Well, let's stand and pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we can meet here on this Sunday and again praise you with our mouth, Father God, and our hearts. And we thank you for a great worship team, good musicians, Father God, and singers that would lift our spirits, Lord, and help us to stand before your throne. And I pray a blessing upon them today, Father. And Lord, just open a word to us today. Give us insight and revelations that we should be able to know your will in our lives, and to hear your voice. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The subject today that I want to share with you is hearing from Jesus. I've had this series now, accepting the love of God, and we looked upon Jesus in different settings. And today I want to talk to you about how do you know that you are in God's will? How can you know that you are doing today exactly what God wants you to do? All of us would like to know that. And can we expect a direct communication from God to us? Now, if you're Presbyterian or Method, you just tell them, I never heard of that. Baptist, you know, halfway in between. Pentecostals hear from God all the time, they think. Or they should. But can you know for sure that you are doing today what God wants you to do? Before we go to John chapter 20, let me lay this out for you here. When you and I were born, God has a plan for us. And God has an automatic will for every person. I got to do this. I just feel led to do this right now. Turn to Romans chapter 8. There's Romans chapter 8. And I want to look in verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here's the good news. When a little baby is born, God has a plan for that person's life. A little baby is not saved. A child, 5 years of age and a little older and so on, before they are saved, they do not know Jesus. They cannot really do God's will. So what does God do? He automatically moves that child in the direction he wants the child to go. And you might not understand this, but he is directing you in a certain path that will lead to the point where you will receive Christ. And then he will continue to lead you to a place where he simply can say, pick up the phone and start talking to me. It takes a while for a Christian to learn to hear from God. And I want to try to develop to see if we can do that here today. Let's turn it to John chapter 20. And you pick it up here in verse number 19. There's John 20 and verse 19. If you read this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that was a Sunday, that's the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This must have been an exciting time of these apostles and disciples, having Jesus there resurrected, talking to them. And of course, they were excited. And later on, Thomas came, and they told him, and they were excited that Jesus was here. Now, I want you to see the reaction of Thomas. The other disciple therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger to the print of the nails, and thrust my hand aside, I will not believe. He got angry. He said, I wasn't there. I'm not going to take your word for truth. If I don't see Jesus myself, forget it. I'm not going to believe. Well, Jesus heard that. And in verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Slow down. Now, we are in this room right now. That door is shut. These doors are shut. And this is pointed out. Jesus simply appeared. Jesus is here today through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If we could see with our spiritual eyes, we would see Jesus standing about where between Thomas and Ina, where they are sitting, and you're standing there in the midst of us and saying, I'm here through the Holy Spirit. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither your finger, behold my hands, and reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. I'm sure Thomas was embarrassed at this time. He realized how foolish he'd been, how childish he'd been. And he said, My Lord and my God. As far as we know, Thomas never wrote a gospel. But we know this, that Thomas traveled east. He traveled all the way through Jordan, was it Jordan today? Babylon, Persia. He went through Afghanistan. And he came into India. And he came all the way to the southern tip of India, where he spent the rest of his life and preached. And there is a church, a Christian church, in the southern part of India that have existed for more than 1,900 years that was started by the Apostle Thomas. He got the faith. He did the work. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out if he wrote something, what he did, and what he said. But I want you to see now verse number 29, because that's speaking to you and me. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. If I look out in this congregation here that is at Resurrection Life of Jesus today, I don't believe that any one of us have had a personal view meeting with Jesus. We have sensed his presence. We have sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. But all of us were confronted with a gospel someday in your life. And we were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And there was a time in your life and my life when I simply said this and you said, I believe. And you asked God for forgiveness. You repented of your sins. And you asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Most of us did not have a fantastic experience. It was an act of our will. By faith, we received Christ. We can look back now, and we can see that from that day and that point in life, that there was a change in us. We had a change. We got a new desire, new thinking. We know that something did happen. But we never did see Jesus like Thomas or the Apostle Paul. How does God communicate now with his people? If you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, that's Hebrews, the first chapter. If you read the first three verses, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means in different ways, spake in time past to the Father by the prophets. The Old Testament time, God spoke to people through the prophets. Has in his last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. For being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus has spoken to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live on this earth for some 33 years, died on the cross, rose on the third day. And this is how God now is speaking to the world, to people, through Jesus. If we take a brief look at the Old Testament times, we find that God personally interacted with key leaders, but the masses were guided through the written word given to God's prophets. We know that God communicated directly with Adam, Cain, Abraham, Job, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. But I want you to see this now, the majority of the people in Israel never heard from God personally. And they had to rely on the prophets and the written accounts of the words of God. Turn to 2 Peter with me. That's 2 Peter. And it is 2 Peter. Guaranteed. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to pick it up in verse number 13. If I get to 2 Peter, I'll do really well. There we go. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this is Peter speaking now, as long as I'm here alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. With other words, he's simply speaking nice. I'm going to die, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, for we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, but there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, but we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto light that shines in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts. Notice first that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If you read in the book of Daniel, you find that God had given the prophet Jeremiah a time of 70 years in captivity. And in the book of Daniel, it says that one day Daniel was reading the prophecy from Jeremiah, and he realized that the time had come for God to act. And then he began to pray. He fasted for 21 days and prayed. And he asked God this: "Why are you not moving yet?" And then God sent him the angel. Notice now, Daniel was guided by the Scriptures to take a prayer action that gave him a vision. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. And we pick up here from verse 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is my Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. God simply said, now I'm going to give you guidance. I have written down these points. These are the guidelines. These are my laws. And I don't need to speak to you again concerning these things. But you learn them. You teach them. You perpetually have them. You know them. Let me ask you a stupid question. You're driving down the road. You're in a hurry. And you come up to a red light. Have you ever prayed, dear God, is it your will that I run this red light or not? I'm in a hurry. What do you think God will tell you? Go ahead. You notice that a red light means that the traffic is not flowing your way, it's flowing a different way. And you know very well that you can run the red light. The red light is not going to come down from where it sits and hit you in the head and say, smack you. But it's going to be another vehicle that's going to hit you, because here's a law. You might not know this law yet, but let me teach you a law. Here's a good law from God. Two objects can never be in the same place at the same time. That's a simple law, isn't it? Okay. So we learn that when we are small, right? You ever seen a child running into the wall, like this? And they go, ooh. And then they learn this, that two objects cannot be in the same place at the same time. So now we have a learning curve that we are learning. Now, this is how God communicates with his people. First of all, through the word. Our entire society in America is built upon this concept. We take our children, we put them through public schools, and they are taught certain things. And when you get out of high school, they expect you to know how to use a computer today. If you get out of high school today and you don't know how to use a computer, you cannot even be a car mechanic, because car mechanics got to have computers. So we teach them that. Now, have you ever heard a child come up and say, Dad, do you think it is God's will for me to learn how to read? You ever heard that? You know this. If you want to succeed in this life, you got to know how to read. You got to know your basic mathematics. You got to know the language in the country where you live. These are basic skills. So we don't ask, should we do this or not? There are certain things that we have to do. Let me take it out to the New Covenant, John chapter 7. The Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. Have you picked it up here in verse number 37? In the last day, that great day at a feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. During the Old Testament times, no one had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have that. But Jesus said, now, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 16:7. John 16 at verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Do some thinking now. When Jesus walked on this earth, he could only be in one place at one time. If Jesus was in Galilee, he was not in Jerusalem. He could only be with one crowd, just like you and I. We can only be in one place at one time. And Jesus said, it is good for you tonight if I go away, because I will send the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at the same time on this earth. If you really think about it, it will blow your minds. Because we can't understand that. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, slow down and look upon this verse now. He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. It doesn't say he will speak to you. At times he does. But he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Let me take you back to 1967. My wife and I were happy as lark in the Southern Baptist Church, Central Baptist Church in Salt Lake City. We were very active. I had a good job, going to college, working on my master's degree, teaching Sunday school, witnessing. We had a blast. And I simply thought, you know, this is life in a fast lane. We had a good time. But God wanted to call me into the ministry. How could he do that? Well, here is how he guided me. He moved upon Ina's uncle in Gothenburg, Sweden, who was a Christian. He's a Pentecostal Christian. And God moved upon him to go and listen to an evangelist who was actually a famous singer in Sweden that had been saved. And this guy was standing in a bar, restaurant someplace, and testified about his faith. And Ina's uncle had a little tape recorder. These were the days where you had the real tape, the long tape. Recorded that. He then took that tape and packed it up and mailed it to me and Ina. And we received it. I came home one day from work to have lunch. And Ina said, we got a tape for my uncle. I said, great. Let's put it on. Let's listen to this when we are having our lunch. And so we put on the tape. And we heard this man speak. I could hear glasses, people drinking alcohol, you know, making noises and stuff in the background. And then suddenly, inside of me, a thought came, a very strong thought. And it simply said this, I am calling you to this type of ministry. And I remember, as vivid as I stand here today, that suddenly my eyes filled with tears and I wanted to cry. In those days I was tough. Never showed I not cried. Never. And I simply ran out from the table, went to the bathroom, turned on all the faucets I had in there, flushed the toilet, and I just stood there and cried and cried and cried. And then I knew that God had called me into some type of ministry. Let's back up now. Every person is led differently. But in this case, the Holy Spirit guided Ina's uncle to prepare a tape. The Holy Spirit used the tape as it was played to bring out an atmosphere. And then St. John, this is what I want you to do, to preach and testify. Now, after I heard that, I talked to my pastor. He said, fine. And he didn't do anything about it. And I went for months. And then finally one Sunday I couldn't take it anymore. April the 60th, 1967. I just burst forward in his service and said, Pastor, I don't care what it is. I'm called by God to be in the ministry. He said, good. He said, I wanted you to mature. I wanted to know for sure that you're called. Because if you're going to get into the ministry, you got to know that you're called. Because this is the most difficult life to live. I thought it would be a fluff to be a minister. 45 years later, I can say this. It was not a cakewalk. It was a walk through the desert. 40 laps and then some. Now, what about you? Let's turn to John 14:23. John 14 and the 23rd verse. Jesus answers, said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my saying, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. The things that were spoken to you being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, you that are here today, each one of you got a story how you found this ministry. And God, again, will guide people. We used to have a lady here. She's now singing in heaven, Joan Lister. And Joan Lister was a very peculiar Christian. She was not afraid to witness. And she would go places and she would talk to you about everything, from fluoride in your water to the Antichrist system and so on. And every time we printed the Dove magazine, she would come and say, John, I need 25 of these magazines. I'm going to go out and place them. I said, go for it. And I did not know that one day she drove up to Yuba City, which is about an hour from here in Sacramento. And she was there at some kind of a patriotic meeting and handed out these doves to these guys, you know, with guns and everything else, you know, going to save America. And she did not know that in that meeting was a man by the name of Thomas Burns. And he picked up that magazine, took it home, threw it on the table, eventually read it. And one day the Holy Spirit just prompted him, drive down and check out that church. He drove down. He's been there ever since. That's about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Every one of you got a story how you got here. I remember back in 1979, I was on the radio. And I was preaching. And one of the people here in Sacramento, Brother Joe, started listening to me on KFIA. And as he was listening to me, he kind of, you know, became my friend, didn't come to church. But he wrote letters. I think he sent some money in. And I visited him. And God knew that the church was going to crash. That was it. I had to leave. And I picked up the phone. I said, Joe, I know that you have a truck. I need help. We need to move the equipment of EAC very quickly. And Joe came with his truck and a few other people. We moved it. Joe didn't know that day that about 5 years later, he would be part of the Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. He didn't know that. After he'd been with us a couple of years, he decided to go and do some other things. And so I didn't see Joe again for another 10 years, 12, 15 years. And then one day I was here, right here in this place here. And as I got up to preach, right behind where Jason sits, there sat the man. And I said to myself, that's Joe. Yeah, that must be Joe. That is Joe. So after the service, I went down and shook his hand. The Holy Spirit had prompted him to look us up on the internet to see if I was still around. And prompted him to come down here. And he had some needs. And I said, Joe, we're going to pray. We're going to talk. And today, Joe is a missionary. He's working in Europe, South America, Alaska, Greenland, whatever it is. He's part of the team back here. He's all over the world. Listen now. You are guided. Guided. I could pick another family. I won't put a name on this. But it's a family where the wife got violently sick. Very sick. To the place where she thought she was going to die. And the husband was just beside himself. He didn't want to live. But the family was not saved. So God led this woman on the internet to Henry White. And then, because we were connected with Henry White, eventually the family came here. And guess what? The husband got saved. All the people in the family got saved. And suddenly, they had their names written in the book of life and they were baptized in water. This is a guidance that God gives us on a general scale. I give you one more example. Brother Bill, back in about 1990, he was out in the tulips at that time. And he was not doing too well. And we were down on Auburn Boulevard, and we had a sign, Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. It's red bold letter up on the side of the building. And one day Bill was driving down on a Sunday. He was just going to go down to a bar someplace where he was going. And suddenly God twisted his head to see the sign, and all he saw was the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, get in there. My wife and I, we were gone on vacation. He came in, came back the following Sunday, was still gone, came back the third Sunday. Now, he had a divine appointment. That Sunday, we came back by the water baptism. I talked to Bill, and I said, now, so he shared me his woes. You know, he had a list. You all have had a list, you know. And then he said, I've never been baptized in water. I said, well, you are just in luck. Actually, you're blessed, not in luck. I said, today we're going to have water baptism at Lake Folsom. This was about July, 105 degrees. I did not know that they had emptied out Folsom Lake that summer. And I brought with me, Sister Lois came up with me, Lola, my wife, Sister Rita, few other people. And we drove up to that lake. We came out there and I saw the lake was empty except a few holes of water. And it was hot. We left Sister Lois, some of the others, in the shade. And then we started walking out to the lake. And we got out there, and I did not know that, you know, there was water, but I didn't know there was about 3 feet of mud underneath. So we got the robes on. I stepped in, and I was stuck. Now I realize this, well, I'm going to baptize. I don't care what it is. We're going to baptize today. So here was Bill. And I said, Bill, how fitting for you. Your life has been in the mud. You're going to baptize you in this muddy water. And you are going to be made, rededicate your life. They had to pull me out. They had to pull us out, the man that we had with us. We go back to the church building, and we're going to have lunch. And Bill said, now, tomorrow, I'm going to go to court. My wife and I being divorced. He said, what do I do? I told him this. I said, you don't fight your wife. You go down to that court tomorrow. And I said, here's what you do. If she wants the house, you said you can have the house. If she wants this, I said, give her that. Whatever she wants, give her the whole thing. I said, Bill, you're going to get it all back. For some reason, he believed me. He went to court that morning. She got whatever she wanted. And 6 months after the divorce was final, I remarried them. I performed a marriage. And they've been happily married ever since. Now, here's what I'm telling you. God guides through the Holy Spirit. God speaks through people. And at times, he speaks directly to us. Let's look upon guidance now quickly here. I want to go first to Hebrews chapter 8. Very important. Hebrews chapter 8. And you want to pick it up here from verse number 6. I'm going to tell you one more thing. You see me sitting in this place here right now. Pretty nice place. We think so. But before we got this place, we had a place in Antelope, and we were in a hole in the wall. You know, you're older with us. You don't remember the hole in the wall. We had there the rat from hell. We couldn't kill that rat. It was a big one. Chewed everything up when we were there. Smelled horrible. So my wife said, God has given me an unction to look for a new place. I said to her, we don't have the money. We don't have enough people. But my wife can be persistent. You know that. Okay. So one day she was out in a car driving around. Came from Fairwoods Boulevard down here. And she saw a sign that says for rent. The Holy Spirit just impressed upon to get in there and talk to them. She drove into the parking lot here, met the supervisor of the company underneath. He was very nice. He took her up his shoulder to the place. And she said, well, I think this is where the church is going to be. They did not advertise. I didn't ever grow in this area. But God wanted us to be on Fair Oaks Boulevard in these premises. And he guided us in here through my wife. So now I want you to think of this. You have been guided all your life. Let's see if we can get a little bit better honed in here. Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. And verse number 10 I want to go down to. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. He's going to write his laws upon our hearts. If we have the word of God in us, we will have guidance. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 14. But continue you in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this is my first guidance. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I rely 99% upon the Scriptures. I tell people this, if I get a vision, or if I get a voice speaking to me, whatever it is, or somebody talk to me, I always run it through my filter. This is my Holy Ghost filter. This is my firewall. If it lines up with this, I will think and pray about it. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I will reject it right out. Look what I wrote here. You don't ask God. If you read the scripture in John 3, it says you must be born again. Okay. God, is that your will I should be born again? It's clear as a bell. You should be born again. Jesus said we should be baptized. You don't pray about should I be baptized or not. You're going to be baptized. You don't ask God, should I read the Bible or should I pray? These are foregone conclusions. This is simply something you do on a daily basis. Let me ask you a stupid question again. I have stupid questions today. You have a job. And when you got the job, you're told what to do. Do you every day come in and say, Mr. Boss, what do you want me to do today? What do you ask me? Well, I want to make sure I'm in your will. Hey, I told you to work on that project. Yeah, but that was last week. Have you finished it? No. But what's wrong with you? Do what I told you. So you work at a project. Why do you say, boss? Are you sure that I'm doing the right will? And by the way, should I answer the phone if the phone rings? And if somebody comes in, should I talk to them or should I simply not talk to them? You know what the boss is going to tell you? Look, why don't you take a long vacation? And, you know, just take a vacation. And then, you know, after a long vacation, come back after, you know, your head got screwed on again. Here we are now. God has given us directions. We got work to do. Have you go around and says, God? God, am I doing the right thing? Yeah, you're doing fine. Okay, thank you. God, is this where you want me to be? I told you so. Now go ahead, finish up. But God, I want to be sure. This is a spirit of doubt. You see, Satan will throw these doubts into you. It is not a doubt to your salvation. It's not a doubt on this and that. It is simply throwing a doubt and then confusion. And we begin to get out of order. And then come anxiety. Now, the Apostle Paul, I'm not going to read that today in the book of Acts 9, 1 through 19. The Apostle Paul had a direct revelation from Jesus that was very dramatic, the road to Damascus. Why? Because Paul would not listen to the Old Testament. He had read the Old Testament and he had rejected the scripture about the Messiah. He rejected the eyewitness accounts of the disciples. And the only way God could speak to him was with a 2x4. Boom! You're blind. And then he said, why, Saul, are you persecuting me? He said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. He was speechless. Some of us did not hear too well. I know some people have broken legs. Some people got broken this, that, whatever it is. And, you know, at the time you were laid up, God was speaking to you and saying, you know, that you are not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be over there. And we heard, you know, the hard way. God gives personal revelations today to thousands of Muslims around the world. Since they do not read the Bible, it can only be reached by personal revelation. Listen to that now. Because the Muslims are cut off, tens of thousands have a vision of Jesus. And after they had a vision, they look up a Christian, they find Bibles, and they are born again. But after they have found the Bibles, and they become part of the Christian work, they're not going to have visions on a daily basis from Jesus. They will get the same guidance that you and I receive. From time to time, God will speak directly to individuals in order to change their direction. This happened to me when it comes to getting into the ministry. This can be in the form of a dream, a vision, audible voice, or even a strong thought pattern. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew, the second chapter. And some of you have had dreams. Some of you acted upon them, and some of you thought, you know, you just had heartburn. Matthew 2, 11. And if I get out of Malachi, I'm doing really well. And when they would come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when he would depart, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be you there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The wise men and Joseph, God had to give them instant directions. He could not simply, they had to have specific information. And when we're coming into the time of the Antichrist, you are now going to have dreams, visions, and voices, because we're going to have to be led on a split second where to go. And the wise men, they went another way. And Joseph took the child and Mary to Egypt because he was warned in a dream. Then turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. As the book of Acts, chapter 10. And I'm just going to read part of this vision here. We'll read the first six verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. He was an officer over 100 Roman soldiers of a band called the Italian Band. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now Cornelius was a Roman. He was a Gentile. But he had heard about God. He loved God. And really he wanted to be saved. So he prayed to God. And God said, I'm going to save you, Cornelius. And he saw in a vision, evident about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God come into him and say to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. And now send me men to Joppa and call for one Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodged with one of Simon a tanner, whose house by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Now, a vision. Cornelius now sees his angel. He didn't have a GPS in those days, but the angel says, this is the house where you go to. This is the guy you're looking for. He goes there. Now, Peter would not have been prepared. If these men would have come, Peter would have said, hey, Gentiles, get lost. You got no souls. But look at verse number 9. On the morrow, as he went on a journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, a certain vessel descending unto him, with a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. When we were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things that fell to the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that's uncommon or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God has cleansed, that call you not common. This was done three times. Notice that. Cornelius got the message once. Peter was thick-skulled. Three times God said, Look at this, Peter. Look at this, Peter. Look at this, Peter. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? Last chapter of the book of John. Three times. Peter had a thick skull. Some of us have some thick skulls too. Anyway, Peter got the message. He went to Cornelius' house. He preached, and the people got saved. Turn to Acts 13 now. The book of Acts, chapter 13. And this is through the Holy Spirit. Now they were in the church, there was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed to lay the hands on them, they sent them away. There will be times when you will be in prayer in a group of people, maybe just yourself, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say a certain things he wants you to do. Let me say this now. Before you go and tell people that God told me to tell you this, make sure that this is from God. Because, you see, there's nothing more devastating than to have somebody come up to you and give you a word, a prophecy, or a word, whatever it is, and it is not from the Lord, but it's by the flesh. How can we discern when God speaks to us or not? Well, the safest way is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. It says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the congregation judge. Now, when I got a message for Bill, that message I knew was built upon the Word of God. And I knew without any doubt. I mean, it was just a word that was without doubt that I spoke to him and said, this is what's going to happen. There have been other times when I thought I got a word, but I wasn't sure. And when I'm not sure, I don't say anything. Or I go to somebody else and ask them, I got this word, what I think is from the Lord, what do you think? Pray about this. If you are absolutely sure, then you speak. But make, you want to be absolutely sure. You don't want to be like Harold Camping. When you speak, you want to make sure that this Holy Ghost has spoken to you. It is better to speak less and make less mistakes than to speak a lot and become known as a false prophet. So take heed on that particular thing. Let me quickly take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is how God speaks to us through thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you pick it up here in verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual thing with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I've been on the radio for 30 years. And I thought I was going to stay on the radio the rest of my life. Got other plans. So he shut the radio ministry down. So about 3 years, I had no radio ministry. We had no outreach. God wanted to speak to me, but he had to set me up and a family in the state of New York. They asked me to come and spend a week with them. In those days, we didn't have a lot to do, I was not so busy. I got water. And so I flew out to New York and spent a day there. I spent a week there. As we were sitting there talking with Eric and Patty and Noah John, Eric said to me, I wish You will be on television. I wish that we could have your service. We don't have a church to go to. I wish we could be in your church on Sunday. Maybe webcasting. And I thought, what was webcasting? But the thought was planted in my mind by this man. As I talked to him, I said, now, what do we have to do? What can be done? And on the way home, when I flew home, the thought exploded in my mind to research and get the webcasting going. God had to move me from here to New York, where he would use a man to put the thought into my mind. The Holy Spirit will use men and women to speak sometimes to us. And because of that, we are today webcasting. It'll be enough about 4 years. There are times when God will speak to your mind and you will get this thought coming in. Do this. Go there. Take care of this. He will only do that when you need to change direction. Let me run that back. It's like a train. A train is running down a track. And the only time that they switch it is when they want to move from this track to another track. Let me repeat this. If you're doing God's work, you're in God's will, he will simply not bother you and say, hello, I'm here. You will hear nothing. My experience from the Word of God of 45 years is that the only time you will have a thought, a vision, or a dream is if you need to change direction. Let's go now to John 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And this is how I operate. In John 15, verse number 4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me give you a final picture on this. It used to be years ago that taxes was much more common than we are today. And I drove taxis for one day. That was it. But if you were a taxi driver, you had a two-way radio in those days. That was a big thing. And there was a dispatcher sitting someplace. And in the old days, you had the cabs would simply line up around the headquarters. And the cab driver was sitting in there waiting for a call. And when somebody called into the dispatcher and said, we need a cab over here and there, he would simply look and say, I got cab number 10, 15, 16, 17, whatever it is, available. And the dispatcher would call the cab and say, number 17, we got a ride for you. Here is the address. Boom, 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 go. And the cab will take off. Now, we are like cabs. We are sitting in the house of the Lord. Or we are moving around. We got a two-way radio. We have a dispatcher in heaven called Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will speak to us. When God wants you to move and do something, if it is to go shopping here, if it is to make a phone call there, or do this or that, you will get a call from the dispatcher, and he will put a thought into your mind. You should go and visit Sister so-and-so. If that's the case, you pray over it, and you say, okay, dispatcher, my cab is on its way. I'm going there. If you abide in Jesus, if you are doing right now what God wants you to do, you can rest assured that when he needs you to take your cab and do a specific job, he will call you. And he will make sure that you will know where to go. That's an assurance. I don't know how I will end my life, where I will end my life. I've been in many different places. But I do notice that God has my phone number. And I do notice that he is the one in charge of me. And I do know that if I am busy doing what he wants me to do, that when he needs me to do something extra, whatever it is, I get a call. And when I get a call, I say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Most of the time in my life, I never hear a voice. I never have thought patterns. I don't have dreams. I don't have visions. I simply operate on the word of God and what Jesus said what to do. Preach the gospel, pray for the sick, cast out demons, freely I receive, freely give. That's what I'm operating on. But he will give me specific orders from time to time, and the same thing with you. So let me read that verse one more time for you. And he simply says this in John 15. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. Are we at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in the will of God? And I would say, yes. We're doing everything we can that God has required of us. Is God using us? Yes, he is. Is God using as much as we want to? No, he's not. But we are today where he wants us to be. And just in his closing thoughts, if my wife and I would have never come to Sacramento in 1975, this place will not exist. You will not sit in these chairs here. And you that are watching me will not be watching. We would have never met you. We would have never met you. And we would have never had an impact in your life. You have met many people in your life. You have had impact on other people. You are going to have impact in the future. So the thing to do is, abide in him and simply say, Lord, I am yours. Call me when you need me. And he will. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we had here around the word. And Lord, this is a subject that I could have spoken probably 10 hours on. But I pray, Father God, that you will take my feeble effort here, Lord, and that people will get an understanding how you guide us. Give us assurance today that we are in your will. Give us assurance that you know us by name and that you love us, that you are guiding us. And I thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars are open. The elders are going to be here. Deaconess, if you're watching today and you're simply saying this, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Very simple. Just ask God to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And He will. Then call us, guide us, we will help you. If you're saying, I need guidance in my life, I need to know for sure, call us, write us. We have counselors standing by. But most of all, call on Jesus. He will give you guidance with the Holy Spirit right now. The altars are here. You come if you have a need. Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved. but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the seventh part in the series, Accepting the Love of God, and was entitled, Hearing from Jesus. It is easy to identify with the Apostle Thomas for being upset that all the other apostles had seen the risen Savior, but he refused to believe until he received a personal visit from the resurrected Jesus. He got his wish and was blessed by the encounter. But Jesus said that those who are convicted by the Scriptures and brought to faith through the Word of God will be even more blessed. Most of the time God communicates through the written Word, but He may also speak through a dream, a vision, an audible voice, or even a strong thought pattern. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer, and God's will is for you to be saturated with His Word and a desire to do His will in order to be automatically directed on a daily basis. Jesus called this abiding in Him. Are you hearing from Jesus? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1335. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.